This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the whole deck with galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail. Woo! And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athlete-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast with your host tonight, Amy Winstead. I'm gonna be a guest tonight. I'm your host now. Yeah, if you're gonna be joining us on YouTube, which I hope you are, we're trying to grow that out. We're on my back deck, so but
I love it back here.
Yeah, it's a vibe.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, I don't know if you. I mean, I don't know what all you guys can see, but this actually, we bought this house. Repoed, and you couldn't walk back here, so we've done
it's
a lot of work.
A long way.
It's come a long way, but people don't want to hear about that.
No.
tonight, like I mentioned, Amy's going to be hosting, and she's going to be
that's a strong word. I'm going to be asking you questions.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what we do.
That's true.
So,
I'm the interviewer.
Yeah. So we asked ChatGPT to ask 50 hunting and or deer hunting and coyote hunting questions.
Micah is super into the ChatGPT right now.
A little bit here and there. It's so fun. It's fun and it's scary. So we.
It's interesting. It's yeah.
So we just like everybody was busy with the holiday. Obviously, hopefully, you know, everybody's got their fingers left and hands, and nobody got hurt during the 4th. Happy 4th, everybody. So we're going to do this and see what see how it comes
see
out.
What rabbit holes we can go down.
I thought you didn't like the word rabbit holes.
I hate it when you guys say rabbit holes.
What's the other one you don't like us saying?
Oh, shoot. What is?
BS.
BS session. Oh, my God. Every session is a BS session. You don't have to label it a BS session. We know.
Yeah.
We also know you go down rabbit holes. You don't have to tell us. We're going down a rabbit hole. You guys are funny.
We usually say it afterwards, though, because we don't know we're going into the hole.
Yeah, but whatever.
All right. We're going to do sponsors real quick, and then we're going to get into it. Huxworks suppressors. I'm jealous. Nathan and Andy have already gotten theirs. I'm still on the waiting list right now, going on 2 weeks. I think Nathan got his in less than a week. Andy, I think, got his in a week. So I'm kind of depressed.
Teaching you patience, babe.
I guess so. So, but super excited to get that out. Hopefully, going to be getting a new gun to...
Well, that's news to me.
I'm probably going to sell a gun to get a gun.
Okay, that's fine.
You know, it'd be like an even trade. You won't even know. I hope.
Okay, that's fine by me then.
Athlon Optics. Definitely an Athlon's going to be going on that new rifle if I do decide to get another one. So we'll see. So go check out Athlon. If you don't know a dealer close to you, we know a few, so give us a shout. Onyx, use the code MWW20. Save yourself 20% on the website. Use it all the time. Everybody knows that. So Camo Fire, rotating door deals. So we just got word that we're in the works, and we're going, I'm hoping I can say this, but we're going to be doing a collab t-shirt with them.
It's really cool.
Yeah, so we're excited about it. I'm not going to give too many details on what it's going to be yet, but whenever that comes out, we'll definitely let everybody know. Black Ovis, use the code MWW10, save yourself 10%. I think they got a bunch of sales going on right now for the holiday weekend. I don't know if there'll still be going on whenever you guys are listening or watching, but and you can stack that deal on top of it. So go check them out. Also check out Huntworth Gear. I know it's obviously early. Everything's hot. Can't really hunt anything right now besides coyotes that I'm aware of. So check out their summer stuff. But winter is right around the corner, which I'm excited for. I've decided I hate summer.
I love summer.
I hate it.
I know you do. You have to work outside in it, and I would hate it if I had to do that too.
Yeah, because, you know, you work outside all day long, then you come home and your kids, they're like, hey, let's go outside and play. And I'm like, I really don't want to.
If you would just let us get a pool, you could just come home and jump in the pool. It would solve all of our problems.
That would just be more work.
I will be your pool boy.
You'll be the pool boy? Okay. We'll talk about it later. Anyways, use the code MWW15. Save yourself 15% on Huntworth. Morel Targets. You probably can't see any in the view that you got, but I got a few of them strung out there in the yard. I need to get back out and shoot a little bit more, but again, it's so freaking hot. I don't like doing that. Reveal cameras by Tacticam. I've gotten 3 cameras out right now, mostly just over Mineral and Food Plot. And we've discussed this on a different show, but we had Lainey. Lainey's going to be the one naming my bucks.
She's pretty good at that.
So we were actually, I got a good one that I think is going to be, I've only gotten pictures of him in video the one time, one night so far. So, but he was going to be, he's got a lot of potential.
Is that the one she already named?
Yep, that's the one she named. And
it's kind of a weird name.
Pootsie?
Something like that. I don't know.
I think it's Pokesy.
Pokesy?
I can't remember.
That one was kind of.
Yeah.
She's had better, but yeah. It's cute. It's
Potsy.
Super cute. Potsy.
That's
not too bad.
She came up with Potsy. And there was another little buck in that she named Tootsie, but I ain't keeping track of him. He's kind of too small to really worry about yet. So I'll keep you guys updated on whatever else comes about. Last but not least, Habitat Works, our buddy Dustin Williams. I was able to, I didn't meet him, but we were at the Heartland Bowhunter premiere last week. And he was there and we did some texting, but the kids wanted to break out early while they were doing all the raffles and stuff like that. So we didn't get a chance to talk to him in person, but we did get to text him. But if you need some Habitat Work, give him a call. 816-752-7390, or you can email them at habitatworksllc@gmail.com. So that's it for the sponsors today.
Flew through those, babe.
Yeah. Sometimes they go a little long. Sometimes they go short.
Just depends. It's probably better when you have somebody to talk to you about those things.
Right. A little bit. But you're doing just fine, love.
Okay. Cool.
So we're just kind of going to get into it. Like I said, some of these questions are going to be pretty obvious.
Are you going to be answering these questions like you're talking to someone who's never hunted before? Or are you just kind of
answering? I don't know. We'll just see how the questions go.
Because it looks like, so we said, give us 50 questions about deer and coyote hunting, starting from easiest to hardest. So they've done like 10 basic questions, 10 intermediate, advanced, expert, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, do you just want me to get started with, like, question number one?
Yeah, let's go. Let's jump into it and let's see where it goes.
Well, this one seems super easy. What is the primary season for deer hunting?
The fall. Fall and winter.
I even knew that. I mean, I could answer that one.
I mean, if we're sticking with the Midwest theme, you know, around our area.
Right.
Most season starts the middle of September or the first part of October and goes through usually the first part of the year. Just depending. For us, it's September 15th to January 15th. That's when deer season is.
And when do you...
When's
but
the
you
best?
Start preparing for that well before.
Oh, like I'm prepping for it now.
Right.
Just with, you know, food plots and putting our mineral out and starting to put cameras out. I go out and I put all my cameras out at once. This year, I did a little different, and I just put three out for now, and then once it gets a little bit closer to the season, I'm going to go and put a few more out.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah.
Okay. Question number two, I guess. What type of weapon is most commonly used for deer hunting?
Rifle. Definitely rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second, I would say bow.
Third.
Crossbow, probably, would be my assumption.
I mean,
if I had, it would go, I would assume it'd go rifle, bow, and then probably like muzzle loader or something like that, maybe. Because they have a muzzleloader season.
Oh.
Well, they call it alternative season. So the gun itself has to meet a certain criteria.
Is crossbow in the same season as bow hunting?
It is.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, we don't agree with it, but it's fine.
Yeah.
It's whatever. I'm not going to get into it today.
I know. Well, okay.
It's whatever at this point.
Yeah. Some of these are stupid. Like, what is the term for a male deer?
A buck.
I knew that. Name a common deer species hunted in North America.
White-tailed deer, mule deer, coos deer.
Maybe we should have proofread some of these.
Well, we can buzz through these ones. Like I said, they get a little harder.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay. What does bag limit refer to in hunting regulations? I actually don't know this, so.
So your bag limit is the amount you can harvest.
Oh, so I guess like I just didn't realize.
A lot of people will say, like, how many tags do you have? So
I've never heard it called bag limit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bag limit, tag limit,
gotcha.
Kind of the same thing.
What is the main purpose of a hunting license?
To show that you paid to go harvest that animal.
Yeah, right.
And it helps with conservation. A lot of that money goes back into the conservation to help.
What is the typical diet of a deer?
Oh, they've ranged. They do a lot of stuff. Corn, beans, forage on different plant species, you know, clover, acorns. Just depends on what type of region they're in. But for us, our region, real close to us, I mean, we got a lot of stuff that they can eat in the woods. Acorns and forbs and different plants. And then also a lot of crop ground. We have a lot of crop ground around us that they munch on.
How can you identify a coyote from a domestic dog?
Ooh. I mean, they have different characteristics for sure. Like, if you watch a dog and you watch a coyote, they're totally different.
But, like, somebody who has never really seen a coyote or something, you know, would just the typical person be like, oh, wait, that's not just a dog. You know what I mean?
Would
they be able to notice?
Sure. I would think so. I mean, once you've seen one coyote, you kind of seen most of them. Like, there are definitely different, you know, coloristics or whatever. But the majority of them look pretty close to the same. They're usually around the same weight and size, roughly. And I'm going to say, you know, 20-ish pounds to up to 40-ish. You know, 40 is really big coyote. So.
Okay. Good to know. What is the legal definition of hunting?
Legal definition of hunting? Harvesting game legally? Harvesting game, I guess, whenever it's in season, you have the proper licenses and tags and, you know, all that sort of thing. So, heck, these questions might get hard.
That's kind of what I was thinking. What type of camouflage is effective for deer hunting in wooded areas?
That's a debate. Some people say that it doesn't matter at all. Some people are big believers in it. Honestly, I don't think it matters. I don't think there's a specific camo. That breaks out your outline. I think it's blue. Blue's like really the only color that they can see.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Didn't know that. Want to wear blue. Other than that, just wear.
Obviously, they can't see camouflage. So.
Right. It's mostly just to break out your outline.
Yeah.
So that's okay. The main thing.
The best camouflage is probably
Huntworth. Yeah. Huntworth. I mean, that's the best.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, we kind of buzzed through those pretty quick. Now we're on to the intermediate questions. What is the best time of day to hunt a deer?
Morning and evening. So actually,
that could be debatable too, though. I bet.
Because
it's obviously a preference, I'm sure.
Well,
probably.
I prefer to hunt the evenings. I've had more close encounters, and I've killed my biggest deer in the mornings.
Interesting.
And I was actually watching, I wish I had the guy's name, but I just watched the YouTube the other day, the one where I was yelling at everybody in the house to be quiet because I was paying attention to it. But this dude, I think it's called Whitetail Research, and he takes a drone, and he flies, and he watches these bucks all year long. And he's only got one video out, but the one video that he's posted so far, and he's going to be posting more, was super fascinating.
Seems like a lot of
of
his own research went into that
video
that he made.
Yeah, it was very educational.
It was interesting.
He broke down the little bit
I watched.
Yeah, he broke down what they do when the wind switches and everything. So go check it out. I'm almost positive it was called Whitetail Research. I'll look it up just to be sure.
Was he from Missouri?
No, I don't remember exactly where he was from, but he was. It was really good. But he actually broke down how long a deer was on its feet during daylight hours, bucks specifically. And he said that a buck is actually on its feet more in daylight in the morning than it was in the evening, according to the one buck that he watched. And
so does that change your mind, though? Because you just said you prefer hunting in the evening.
I prefer it because the thing about evening hunting is you usually know where they're going to go. In the evening, usually, depending if it's not in the rut, they're going to go to some type of food source in the evening. Usually, when it comes to the rut, throw it all out the window because you don't know what they're doing. But yeah. But he says mornings, they were more on their feet.
Morning's a little bit harder for you, though.
Morning is harder.
Well, I mean, especially just with your work schedule, evening's kind of hard, too. But
right.
Do you want me to move on? Or
go ahead. Okay. I'll find that guy.
Okay. Next one. Name one strategy for attracting deer during hunting season.
In our area, it's illegal to bait.
I was just going
to
say, that's legal, I would
assume.
Right,
yeah. If you live in a state that's it's illegal, you can bait deer. But if not, then usually you can do scents, some type of scent, like put like a mock scrape or something like that. That can attract different bucks. That one guy is called Whitetail Research. Go check him out, Whitetail Research. Food plots, you can do that to attract deer. That's what I do a majority of the time.
I have a question.
Okay.
What is the difference, and this might be a really stupid question, but what's the difference between a food plot and, like, baiting? You know what I'm saying?
Well, a food plot is something that you, you know, you plant into the ground.
Right.
Baiting is just putting grain, usually some type of grain, out there in one pile.
But the intention's the same. Obviously, you're right. You're putting in a food plot just to attract the deer.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's there's, I mean, you could debate it, but like in Missouri, so it's illegal for me during the deer season to go pull or put out a bag of corn. But if I plant corn, I can legally go and mow down that corn whenever I want, and then there's just corn out there.
Interesting.
It's somebody somewhere came up with it, and that's just
so
the way it is.
if it weren't illegal in Missouri, would you be fine with the baiting?
Probably. I don't see what the big fuss is. Oh, right now it's mostly CWD. You know, we have CWD in a bunch of our counties. I'm sure you've heard me mention it, but they say that that is one of the spreaders that causes it. But
baiting is?
Yeah, baiting, because it gets into the ground, and then more deer come to that one place, and then they're more susceptible to getting it and transporting it everywhere else. And
gotcha.
Yeah. But you can still do
it. You can argue that with...
You can do that with a food plot, too. So I don't... Yeah.
That's, I guess, in my mind...
And the conservation... So they go out and they'll cull deer, which is just kill them. They'll go out and they will dump hundreds of pounds of corn and then kill the deer off of that.
What?
And you can't tell me that they're killing every one of them. So, you know.
I don't know about all that.
That's one of those things, you know, just the world we live in.
That's weird. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where am I at here? What is the significance of deer tracks in hunting?
Well, I mean, you see their...
Like, are you out there, like, looking for the deer tracks? You know
no,
what I mean? Like,
I know a lot, or I've heard of a lot of people, like, using that to their advantage, especially, like, in the snow. Like, some people are good enough to where they can look at a track and be like, that's a big buck, or at least a big-bodied one. And they'll follow it, and they'll just follow that track... Until, you know...
Oh, wow.
You try to find him. I mean, it would be very difficult, I would assume. I mean, you have no idea how far they're going.
Yeah.
So you might just be walking all day. And
yeah.
And you'd have to have access to a lot of ground to be able to do it effectively, I would assume.
Hmm. So you don't...
I don't mess with the tracks.
You don't mess
with
the tracks.
I mean, I'll get in there and I'll see kind of where paths are.
Mm-hmm.
And then go from there.
I could imagine you... probably pay more attention to like where they're bedding, like, you know, when they bed down the grass and stuff gets all matted down.
Yeah, they actually bed a lot in my clover plot, so
that's a good thing.
And I set up, so one of the new cameras that I got, it has a live feature, so I can get on there like right
now.
Yeah,
you showed me that the other day. That was cool.
It's neat. I don't know how I feel about it.
Why?
I don't know if it's cheating yet or not.
What do you mean cheating? A food plot's cheating?
Is it?
I mean, I don't think it's cheating. I think, to me, it's baiting.
I mean, you could kind of say that. But just because you planted it.
I don't think it's cheating.
Just because you plant it don't mean they're going to eat it. Like, I have two food plots.
So how is the live video cheating? I don't know.
I don't know. It gives you a little bit more of an advantage. Which, I mean, it's debatable. That's the thing. I guess I don't
understand how seeing it live, you're still getting all these pictures 24/7 anyway.
There's some states out there that you're not even allowed to use cameras. So,
which I can imagine the cameras kind of take some sort of like guessing game out of it.
Like, a little bit.
The cameras make it a little easier.
I don't know about easier. I mean, sure, you can.
Because you know where they are. You know what they're doing.
Right.
Which obviously is helpful.
It is. But the one thing I like about it is you can gauge what deer you have there. So, like, if I know that there's a, we'll just keep it layman's terms so you can know. If I know there's a 10-point buck on that property, and then I'm out there hunting and all I see is 8 points, I have no problem letting those 8 points walk. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So I can sit there and I can wait for a potentially bigger deer. Not the size matters.
Yeah.
To me, like, but I want to kill the biggest, or, you know, the most mature at least.
Yeah.
So that's where it helps.
Yeah.
But I got to say, like, I've hunted properties, mostly like a new one or something like that, and didn't have any camera information. There's something a little bit more.
It's kind of a thrill, I'm sure.
A little bit more exciting going in there and mm-hmm. not knowing what right. could walk out.
Yeah.
So there's,
yeah.
you know, if you're down for cameras, use them. If not,
right.
I don't, yeah, that's up to you.
Let's see. What was the question I just asked?
Something about cameras.
No, it wasn't.
No.
Was it the deer tracks? What is a common method for tracking coyotes?
Common method for tracking coyotes? I don't know many people that use anything to track coyotes, actually.
Yeah.
We're calling
other than
them.
The calls.
Yeah, and that's not tracking. That's calling them to you. So.
Well, true. I guess
the way we do it.
Yeah.
You can do it a few different ways, but we might know that there's some in the area, but we'll just set our call out over a field majority of the time and just wait for them to come to us.
Right.
There might be people out there that actually do track coyotes. I have no idea, though. Mm. I don't know of any.
Interesting. Okay. How can scent control impact deer hunting success?
Well, it depends on how much you believe in scent control. Me, I use one product, Scent Thief. The only reason I use that product is I've actually seen it. It's not 100%, but I feel like it gives you a slight edge, mm-hmm. just a little bit. If you watch any type of hunting TV show, they're gonna try to sell you on 10 different things.
Right.
The one I've never used on it. Not is it Onyx?
No, that's
no,
your.
That's the other one.
GPS There's, thing.
Yeah, not Onyx. Guys will know what I'm talking about. The one that, you know, it's a machine.
A scent thing?
Yeah, it's a machine that sprays the stuff that supposedly kills your scent or whatever.
Oh. Like you hang it in your tree stand or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a little thing and it just blows.
That's just one more thing you got to pack in. And
exactly. And
I mean,
some people say it works. Just haven't messed with it. Yeah. My biggest thing is you always play the wind no matter what, and that's usually your best bet. But repeat the question.
How can scent control impact deer hunting success?
So it could give you an edge.
Yeah.
It give you a little bit of a leeway. I don't think there's anything out there that's 100% though.
Yeah. What are the typical vocalizations of a coyote?
There's a lot.
Can you give us the calls?
there's so many calls.
Give us your best one.
I mean, I'm not going to do it.
If
Andy or...
Can he do them?
Andy can do them real good.
Really?
With, like, a mouth call. Andy can do them real good. Austin can do them. Brandon Calder can do real good mouth calls. I've never really gotten good at the mouth calls for coyotes. Mm. I always just end up acting like it's a turkey call, so I just can't figure it out that good.
That's funny.
Yeah, but there's all kinds of different howls and
yips
and yaps.
Oh, I'm
and
sure.
That sort of thing.
What is spot and stalk hunting?
So a spot and stalk is a lot different. Like right now, like I am a tree stand hunter. Mm-hmm. Spot and stalk is when you actually spot your prey or whatever you're going after and you stalk up on it and kill it that
you're
way.
On the ground.
You're on the ground.
So that's what you do when you elk hunt.
Yeah.
Spot that, stalk. That sounds cool.
Spot stalk, you're still calling them in. So you're kind of sitting mm-hmm. and waiting for them to come to you. But if you do see them, you're obviously going to try.
Can you do that very much with deer?
You can. It's really hard.
I can imagine
for white-tailed deer. White-tailed deer are super, super skittish.
Right. Because they spook easy.
Yeah.
So
they spook
very
easy.
You'd have to be real quiet.
But it's more of a Western thing. Mm. So you get in those huge open fields.
Yeah.
And it's really big on mule deer.
That'd be cool.
Oh, it'd be really cool. I don't know if I'd have the patience for it. I mean, I guess it's no different than
sitting there waiting.
But, you know, you're putting hours into a stalk and then you...
Just like your elk hunt.
Yeah.
I mean...
Oh, yeah. And then you F up the last 10 seconds and it ruins everything.
Yeah, that would suck.
So...
What type of terrain is best for coyote hunting?
We prefer open fields. call them out. You want timber in there, or at least some type of brush line. Coyotes are going to live anywhere and everywhere. So for us, we like to have some type of open field to call them into.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know. Name two types of deer calls used in hunting.
The grunt call, the snort wheeze. I guess you can call
antlers.
That's, yeah, rattler.
Look at me.
Look at you go.
I didn't know the technical term, but.
Yeah. Rattling antlers.
What do you use, any of those?
I use a grunt call. I'll snort wheeze with my mouth. I don't have a call for it. And then, like, there's doe bleats and stuff like that.
Have you ever called when I've been with you? I don't feel like you have.
Probably not. I'm not huge on calling.
Yeah.
It works sometimes. So. Sometimes it doesn't. So I just...
what happens.
I prefer to just sit where I hope they think they're going to walk. And that way, if I screw anything up, it's because I moved too quickly or I did something wrong or they got behind wind. I've had some situations where if I wouldn't have called, I feel like I would have had a shot at something. So I've gotten... Yeah,
it's almost like less is more in that area,
But then you got Nathan. Nathan killed a buck last year. I think he rattled it in. He snort wheezed. He snort wheezed a buck in two or three times. I can't remember the exact amount. But he finally came in close enough where he could shoot it. So it works in some areas and
just
not in others.
Every situation's different, I'm sure.
Right.
What is the purpose of using a hunting blind?
So they can't see movement. Great for children.
Yeah. That's
when you got kids.
The only thing we could use.
Having that hunting blind is money.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
I would like to get one where we could all go.
That'd be a big-ass hunting blind.
Really? What about Andy's? Could we all fit in Andy's? The really nice one?
All three kids?
Yeah.
We could. Yeah, we could. It'd be tight, but we could do it.
I think that'd be fun to do sometime.
Yeah. No, we could do that. I bet we could do that this year, honestly. Andy, let's go kill some does out there.
I don't know how Laney would do.
Well, luckily for him or for us in that blind, we'd be fine.
So, okay. So it doesn't matter if she's kind of noisy.
As long as she's not screaming or nothing like that, then it'll be okay.
I think it'd be fun. All right, moving on to the advanced questions.
Oh, geez.
Okay. Oh, we're not even... You just wait. We got expert level and... just expert level. Sorry. Okay. All right. What factors influence deer migratory patterns? Migrating patterns.
Deer don't really migrate.
Am I saying that word wrong?
No, you're probably saying it right, but...
This is why I was like, I should proofread these questions.
They don't really...
They're migrating patterns.
When I think of migrating, I think of long jaunts. Usually...
Maybe we should just skip that
usually deer stay within, miles of each other. There's studies out there that bucks will travel vast distances during the rut and that sort of thing, but they don't really migrate unless they do it like up north, in some of the or out west or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, and I could be wrong, but they kind of stay pretty close.
Describe the importance of understanding local hunting regulations.
Well, you just want to make sure
don't get in trouble.
Yeah, you want to make sure everything's legal.
Doing everything right.
Yeah, you F up, you could potentially get your hunting rights taken away.
I was just going to ask, if somebody does something illegal, like what happens to them? We talking jail time? Or are we just
if it's bad enough, they will.
Really?
A lot of times it's with a stiff...
Just a slap on the wrist.
A lot of times it's a stiff fine. You can have your hunting weapon taken away, and they'll take whatever game you were illegally taking, too. So
not... jail time.
If you mess up, if you're a poacher or something like that and like known to do it a lot, you can go to jail.
How do you properly field dress a deer?
Ooh. Well, I mean, you got it.
I'm sure there's lots of different ways.
I don't feel like that's like an expert question. You got it.
No, this is advanced level. Oh, sorry. Advanced. We haven't made it to the expert level.
I just don't... But yeah, you got it. And then usually here in the Midwest, we usually drag it to an open field, go and pick it up with a truck and do it that way. If you're out in like out west, you have to quarter them up.
And why do you have to?
Because you can't carry them out the whole way. Well, I'm talking like elk mostly.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
how old were you when you field dressed your first deer?
When I field dressed my first deer, I was 15. Yep, 15 when I first helped somebody with
mine. And were you like, this is disgusting? Or were you like, yeah, this is cool?
I mean, it was like, I was like, this is just part of it.
This is part of it.
Yeah, I mean, Lawson, he did great. He's like, let me do it.
I know.
Yeah.
He did.
So I think.
It's just part of the experience.
Yeah, just part of the job that you got to do whenever you get one. So,
what are the main predators of deer in the wild?
For us, it's coyotes. Coyotes are a big predator, and then human, obviously.
Yeah.
Cars. But
yeah.
And I guess bears now, too, since we got bears down south.
That's crazy. So,
yeah. Coyotes kill a lot during the fawning, this time of year. Like right now, coyotes are killing fawns because fawns are real small.
That's sad.
Yeah.
What is the rut in deer behavior?
Their breeding season. So that's when they get it on.
Let's get it on.
Yeah. So there's a, it's kind of like a bell curve. Starts off real slow, and then it just builds up, and then it'll go down again. And then there's usually a secondary rut that happens. If a doe didn't get bred the first go around, then she'll go back into heat and potentially get bred then.
You know, it would be sweet.
What?
If deer mated for life. I think that would just be touching.
The lifespan of a normal deer is around 3 years old, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, so they would, I don't think
so
the
population.
So that's
not really an option, probably.
Yeah, the population would suffer quite a bit if that was the case.
I'm just, you know, I think it's so sweet. Okay, what equipment? Oh, wait, no, I skipped one. How does moon phase affect deer activity? Ooh, that's interesting.
Some people will say they base their whole hunting schedule off of moon phase.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think there's been studies out there. I've heard of studies out there that prove that the moon phase doesn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, it does not.
So it's kind of what you believe. I don't know.
What do you think?
I don't think it necessarily does. I think deer are going to do what deer are going to do. Whether it makes a buck stand up and move 5 minutes earlier, I've never seen that to be the case.
I don't know. You hear a full moon, the kids acting crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe it.
I mean, there might be.
It does affect.
Might be something to it.
Yeah.
But I've never seen. It's never.
You're not paying attention to
it
affect your hunting schedule.
Right.
Or
I'm
going to
hunt when I can hunt.
Yeah.
And if
that's what it is.
Bad moon, okay.
Sure.
If it's a good mood, great.
Whatever.
Okay. I pay more attention to weather than anything.
What equipment is necessary for coyote calling?
You can either, there's diaphragm, there's a bunch of different calls out there. Most popular is obviously the e-collar, the electronic collar. So then
and the
Matt.
Easiest, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as you push the right buttons.
How can weather conditions influence hunting success?
I feel like hunting has more of an effect on deer than the moon phase that we were talking about.
You mean weather?
Yeah, weather. The weather, I feel like that has more to do with it than anything. Deer, they got some type of sense that know when a storm's coming.
Oh,
so
it
feels like whenever there's a cold front coming, they're usually a day or so before that or the same day, they're up a little more and feeding a little more.
Don't I know it? Whenever there's a cold front, you're... freaking out.
Well, I mean, it's a magical time.
Magical. That's the word. What are the consequences of hunting without a license?
Just depending on what you're doing, you could get a stiff fine.
Yep. Describe two different hunting techniques for coyotes.
Two different hunting techniques.
Mm-hmm.
I guess calling would be one, sitting somewhere, trying to call them in. Most popular, I would assume. I guess the second would be locating them, either like doing some sort of spot and stalk type method, or you baiting, sitting over bait.
About using your, what do you call it?
Thermal.
Is that?
I mean, that's just a different style.
So that's not
we're
like
still
a technique.
Yeah, we're still calling them in.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But I guess baiting would be one, and then calling them would be
another.
Is
baiting coyotes illegal?
I don't think so in Missouri. I know you can, like, because we'll set up over, like, dead cows and stuff that have died for whatever reason. So I don't.
That makes sense to me. But then again, I don't understand. Like, why would baiting deer be illegal but not baiting a different animal be illegal?
I think deer's worth more in the hierarchy of things.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm guessing.
A lot of rules. Okay.
There's a lot of coyotes out there, too.
That's true.
They can be knocked down a peg.
Yeah, true. Okay. Now we're getting into the expert level questions.
Ooh, getting nervous.
I feel like we're buzzing through these pretty quick.
That's all right. This thing ain't going to take all night.
Okay, good. What role does habitat management play in deer population control? What role does habitat management play in deer population control? I feel like you guys talk about this all the time.
Well, obviously, the better you can make the habitat, the better the deer herd's going to be. And potentially, if you take an acre and you make it where it can produce more food, then you can have more deer on that acre.
Yeah.
Then, right.
Yeah, you're constantly doing habitat management.
Try to.
You're.
I dabble.
Well, you're doing the food plot thing. You're out there doing. Well,
yeah.
Is that not the?
It's kind of the same thing. What a lot of people, when they talk of habitat management, they talk of like mostly tree work, whether it be cutting down trees.
So, like you doing the trails.
Kind of. That's mostly for me to ease of access, and a deer will most of the time.
But, yeah, the deer will use them.
They'll use them. But it doesn't necessarily make more food for them. It might make bedding and things, which is, you know, habitat. So, yeah.
How can you tell the difference between male and female deer tracks?
Males are bigger.
That's it?
I think there's the hoof or whatever, and then there's like two other, I don't know what you call it, the backside of the hooves. I think if it's a bigger deer, usually they're more weight, and you can see those two ones. But I could be way wrong on that. But usually they're just bigger.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
But again, you're not really paying attention.
No,
to
I don't pay attention.
Especially to female tracks, I'm sure.
No.
Discuss the impact of overhunting on coyote populations. I was going to say, is overhunting a thing for coyotes?
The thing about coyotes is they can fill gaps in the ecosystem quicker than anything else, it seems like. Like you kill a coyote in this one area, usually within a year there's going to be another coyote there.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing as far as ecosystem, like, you're going to get more if you do take them down a notch. You're going to have more small game. You're going to have like rabbits, rodents, which is not necessarily a great thing, or whatnot. Turkeys, I guess, little polks, that sort of thing.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the right answer, but I mean, I feel like that's right.
Sounds right to me.
Yeah. I think our recorder quit working. If so, it is what it is at this point.
What types of bait are legal for deer hunting?
In our state, none. You go over to Kansas, you can use grain and bait them. You know, same in Texas. I don't know what all states you can bait in. I think Michigan, maybe. But, yeah, so it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really apply for Missourians.
Okay, right.
You can't bait.
How do you recognize a coyote den?
A hole in the ground. Did you know coyotes only den during the pup season?
I did not.
Yeah. So I always thought that they just had a den that they slept, you know, a few dens.
Right.
But apparently they only den whenever it's pup, when they have pups.
Hmm. So they're just roaming.
Yeah.
Do they stick to an area, or do they really just kind of?
No, they have like their area. And that's what I was meaning. Like, if you kill a coyote, kill a coyote in a really good area that's for a coyote, like, they love being around cattle for whatever reason. I don't know if they eat the crap. I don't know if it's because mice or what, but they like being around cows. So if you kill one there, it could be the next week. It could be a few weeks. Could be a month, year, whatever. But another coyote will move into that area because of how sought after that area is.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did not know that. And I didn't know that about the den.
I hope I'm getting that right. I'm pretty sure I heard that. I think it was Tori Cook. Could be wrong, though. Don't quote me.
Explain the ethical considerations in hunting practices.
Wow, that's explain the.
These are like, okay, I like these because these are the type of questions you were asking me on our last podcast we did together. And I was like, come again. What the heck did you just say?
Explain the
ethical considerations in hunting practices.
I think that the powers that be want, whenever you are killing game, they want you to do it the quickest way and the least harm to the animal as possible, other than killing it. They want it to die quick.
Yeah.
Is the sort of thing. Right. So I'm assuming that's what it's talking about.
I think that's what that's saying or asking. Yeah. What are the signs of which deer are dominant in an area?
There's always an a-hole deer around most of the time. But
is that like the alpha
deer? I mean, deer have bachelor groups. And then once it gets closer to the breeding season, they will split up, mm-hmm. and there'll be a hierarchy of deer in there. Turkeys are the same way. I would assume coyotes are the same way. There's a pecking order, and there will be challengers that come about saying, nope, I want to breed these does or whatever, and they'll get in fights. That's when you'll see a lot of, deers with, like, broken off antlers. Mm-hmm. Like, I had that 8-point that I was chasing for a long time, real wide one. He was always broke up every year. And he just kind of seemed like a dick because he'd always get in fights.
Seemed like a dick.
Yeah. Like Nathan, that one that he killed last year, it was full of infection because it was a fighter,
He was a dick.
Yeah. He was a dick, probably.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and, like, just the way they act. So, like, him snort wheezing, that's an aggression call towards another buck.
Yeah.
So that he was like, where's this buck at?
Yeah.
I want to fight it.
He wanted to respond to that.
Right. So if you do a snort wheeze and the buck runs away, that's going to be a, not
sissy.
A dominant. Yeah. Potentially. If you did it right, it could be if you're in one tree out in the middle of a field and you snort wheeze and the deer looks around and doesn't see anything, they're going to be like, well, that was weird.
Yeah.
I should be able to see every deer that's around, and then, might just say, well, that's weird, I'm just getting out of here. But usually that's the case. If you're mostly works really good in the timber or whatnot, if you snort wheeze, that's kind of an aggression call, or if the fighting call. Sometimes they just want to check it out, I would assume, when it comes to like the rattling of the antlers. Mm-hmm. Deer want to see what's going on. One might be dominant, be like, hey, I'm going to, come over here and kick some ass too. But that's what they're doing.
Oh, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
How can genetics affect deer antler growth?
Good genetics usually mean healthier deer, which means healthier antlers, bigger antlers.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to take care of your does too. Like that, if you're not mineral, like what we put mineral out, you want to keep your does healthy just because it's going to continue on to the next generation, because mm-hmm. then she gives birth, she's drinking mom's milk. If that doe's healthy, that's going to help the next deer be healthy, and so on and so forth. So
what is the significance of scent glands in deer behavior?
So they have a few different glands. I don't know where all of them are, but they have some at the top. The bucks have them on the top of their heads. And so they'll do like licking branches or, like a scrape tree. No, mm-hmm. scrape a tree. Yeah. Scrape a tree, rub the ground. Or is it rub? Yeah, that's it. So, and they'll leave that gland and it just kind of like a, this is me sort of
marking
thing.
Its territory.
Sort of. And they also have them like on the back, like I guess you would call it their knees mm-hmm. or whatever. Not necessarily their ankle, but they'll actually, there's a gland there. And like whenever they do a scrape on the ground, they'll stand over it and they'll pee on those glands and then get that into the dirt. So it's another type of.
Do male deer Do you think they smell female deer scents?
Oh, absolutely.
And are like, ooh, she's the one.
Well, yeah.
Or you know what I mean? Or yeah, like, well, I don't know.
They come into heat and like,
right.
You'll see it out there. If a doe's hot, they call them hot. If that doe's hot, there will be deer chasing her until she gets bred.
Do bucks, like, will they just, if they see a female, they're just having at it? Or, like, are they selective, I guess?
I don't think they're selective on, I mean, I would assume it's kind of like the male species. They're going to get what they can get, sort of thing. Except for me. You're the only doe for me, dear.
Oh, jeez.
You're the only doe for me.
Great.
But no, it's...
Well, I was wondering if they'll just, like, they see the first female and they're like, okay, this
if
is
they
happening.
Well, they go around and they check them. So, like, they'll...
So they're selective.
They're waiting is all they're doing.
Oh,
they're waiting for the does to come into heat.
Oh,
and
well,
and so if
yeah.
that doe's in heat... Already, like if she's ready to breed, they'll just run her down till she's worn out and then breed.
God.
Pretty much. I mean, so I mean, yeah.
Terrible.
So like, but there'll also be cases where like she, because they can tell just by the scent, I'm assuming that, well, she's not ready today, but she might be tomorrow. So they'll just hang around her and
jeez.
They'll try to get them away from all the other deer. And you know, keep her away from any.
That's why I will never kill a doe. They, poor thing, she goes through so much already.
That or just take her out of her misery. You can look at it a few different
That's
ways.
That's true. I guess I would be doing her a favor in that regard. Yikes. Yeah. Okay. Discuss the pros and cons of hunting with dogs for coyotes.
It's fun to watch. I have not been on it. You know, our buddy Austin, he obviously has a decoy dog. So it gives you a little bit of an advantage if the coyotes are willing to, you know, if they're aggressive. Like, again, this time of year, they got pups on the ground, so they're more aggressive towards everything else because they do everything they can to protect those pups. So you can get them fired up pretty good, and, like, you could almost... Austin says you could stand up and wave at them and they're still not going to go away if that dog's with his dog
yeah,
there.
Some, that would be really
each,
cool.
Each coyote's going to be different, but they also use dogs to run them down. So, like, they'll get up in those big, and it even happens up north here, but they'll find big old open areas and they'll run, you know, drainage ways or whatever till a coyote pops out, and then they'll let their dogs out and the dogs will actually chase the coyote. And
wow.
get them that way.
That'd be cool.
It'd be cool,
cool
to
watch.
Yeah, I want to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a few guys up north that do it, but I haven't been able to ever get up there and watch them.
I wonder if that, to train your dog to do that, if that's really, is that hard to do?
I think a lot of it's just breeding.
Oh.
You know? And
really?
Yeah, I mean, Austin, I don't know exactly what all it went into. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's obviously, there's some type of training in
right.
it. But I've never messed with it. So I couldn't tell you, but there's something.
Hazel, I don't see her doing that.
She might be a good decoy dog because she's pretty good about staying around.
She's a very good listener,
I mean,
like, for sure, but
I would assume.
I don't think she would be up for
up for a
running.
Fight. She wouldn't be up for a fight, and yeah, she wouldn't be up for running. She's a fat, lazy dog.
She's a good doggy, though.
But I would assume the main thing you want on that type of dog is recoil. Like, if it goes out there and you call it back, you want to make sure it comes back.
True.
You don't,
Hazel would do that.
Yeah. Recall, not recoil. My bad. But
I knew what you were saying.
Yeah.
Okay, now we are on to some more expert-level questions.
All righty.
We're almost done here. What are the complexities of managing deer population in urban areas?
I would assume the biggest... complexity is that it's the actual people. So there's a guy, everybody's gonna know who Seek One is, but Seek One, like, that's what his YouTube channel is. Like, he's probably one of the biggest YouTube hunters out there, very successful, and it's because he hunts urban areas. So he'll go into, like, neighborhoods and kill huge deer, and, like, the hardest thing about that is there's,
like,
obviously
even bucks and stuff.
Big bucks.
Wow.
Big deer.
Because you see deer in neighborhoods and stuff, but I don't know that I can remember ever seeing like a big buck.
Yeah, I don't think I've personally ever seen one in the neighborhood. But
that's cool, though.
I would think the biggest hurdle about it is just getting everybody else on board.
Mm,
you know, you got to get permission on these small properties.
Yeah.
And they're cool with it, but the neighbor's not cool with it. And that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But you got to, the thing is, you still got to manage them. You got to have something to do, because if you don't do it, then that's when the government gets involved, and then they got to pay somebody to go do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that's just your tax dollars being wasted on something that, you know, you could go
you
out.
You could do.
You could do.
How does lead ammunition impact wildlife?
Supposedly lead's bad for animals, so you don't really see too much lead anymore.
Really?
Yeah. It's more on birds. I think they get, but I mean, there's obviously lead out there, but copper's big now, sort of thing.
Mm.
But it, I mean, it's poisonous. So.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Explain how to conduct a deer population survey. That's a weird question.
That's a good question.
You
though.
Think?
Yeah.
Explain how to conduct a deer population survey. What?
You would use, you can do it like a few different ways, I think. Like the majority, especially now. So like now, thermal drones are becoming really popular. And so you can actually get a guy out there and he can fly over your whole property and he can tell you how many deer you have on that property.
Oh, that, okay. That's
at any
cool.
given time. So obviously that's going to fluctuate enough. But if you think you just overran with deer, then, you know, you might want to thin out some.
Didn't you guys have somebody on your podcast that
yep Bird Eye there? Yeah, we had Bird Eye on. He was actually at the Heartland bow hunter premiere, but yeah, so Bird Eye, and we actually went out after we were done and we flew up, he flew up for us and was just checking out around, and I don't think we saw one deer that night. We were at Nathan's house. We saw like some raccoons and plenty of cattle.
That is really cool though.
Oh yeah, I'd like to have it done over where I mainly hunt. Just to see. But you can also do it like with cameras, and I forget how they do it exactly. But I don't know exactly. The only way I know to do it for sure is with the thermal drone and actually counting them.
What about just using your trail cameras? Is
you
that
can. There's, not? There's a way to do it, and like there's some type of formula or something like that. I can't remember it.
Because I would imagine that would be a good
tool. You can, and like Grant Woods will tell you, you can also tell by your timber. Like if you go in there and everything's eaten up real bad and, you know, you don't have any food, but you got to be good at like knowing what, like
what
knowing,
was there.
And yeah, you got to know what was there to begin with, and you got to be able to know all the plants and that sort of thing and what deer are actually wanting to eat. And if they're, you know, chewed down to the dirt, then you probably got too many deer. But if you got plenty of food around, you're doing a little better.
Okay, so that was a better question than what I thought it was going to be. Discuss the ecological role of coyotes in their habitats.
They're kind of like, they're a better, they clean up a lot of mess. So, like, anything that dies, coyotes are usually going to get to it, especially deer. Like, if a deer dies,
they're eating it.
A coyote's going to get to it at some point, more than likely. Not all the cases. I mean, there's some cases where you kill it. If you don't get to it within 6 hours, that deer's gone already because it's been eaten up by coyotes. Or somewhere that it could last some time. But they keep the rodents at bay. They kill a lot of field mice and rats, that sort of stuff. They kill some, I would assume they kill raccoons. I don't know how much raccoons they actually kill. I wish they killed more of those.
I was going to say, I feel like we have a lot of raccoons. A
ton of raccoons. We don't have enough people that hunt raccoons is the problem.
Yeah, we got a lot.
Yeah.
We just hit one yesterday.
We did hit one. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That is the worst. Ugh, I hate that.
I'm just glad I didn't mess the car up.
I know, because that was a big boy. Mm-hmm. It was huge.
Yeah.
Sorry, I lost my spot. What are the legal implications of hunting in different states?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know about other states.
I mean, right. Yeah. You're not going to
I mean, what's the least? I mean, you have to – there's a bunch of different rules depending
follow on the rules, people.
Yeah.
That's it.
If it's an out west state.
Look it up.
You usually got to put in for some type of draw. You got to build points, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Missouri, all you got to do is pay money. You can come kill our deer.
I know you guys have talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
We know your thoughts, which I agree with you for sure.
Do you? So you don't
– I think – yeah. I mean, I think you guys make a good point on it.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like why wouldn't we up the...
At least the charge. At least they can pay more.
Right.
So.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with you, dear.
Okay, thank you.
How... I feel like you've kind of already answered this a little bit, but how do predators like coyotes impact deer behavior?
So if deer or coyotes will kill deer on occasion, they don't really kill full deer that often. They definitely do it. But... if you got a high coyote count, and they'll disperse them a little bit, so they'll run them around, but usually they come back. I've only seen it one time where they were actually like chasing a full grown deer. I was out there on my main spot, and I actually got it on film too of a coyote chasing down deer. But I mean, I've never seen them catch them.
Can deer outrun coyotes?
They can for a little bit. I think I could be wrong, and I'm bullshitting here, but I think if they just ran, I think the coyote can last longer.
Oh.
They just wear them down, but I could be wrong on that. That's how wolves do it. They usually just wear their game out until, get them circled up.
What methods are used for tagging deer?
Usually electronic methods right now.
Yeah.
Use your phone.
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Examine the ethics of trophy hunting in modern practices.
That's a good one. Trophy hunting.
Examine the ethics of trophy hunting in modern practices.
We're going to go across the pond, but like over in Africa, it's really big trophy hunting. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
People pay big money to go over there, kill a bunch of different type of species and bring them over to be their trophies. It's a good thing for the conservation, because if they didn't have those hunters, then the land would just be full of poachers just killing them to kill them and eat them, which is not a bad thing. I mean, well, people got to eat is what I'm saying, but the money that the people put into the economy over there
because of
hunting is really good. And they also feed a lot of people too. I don't think people realize that. Usually when you go over there and you just kill a wildebeest or whatever, everybody around you is getting fed off of that thing. You might eat one meal off of it because you can't bring the meat back.
Okay. So that's good.
They donate, I would assume, like 90-something% of all meat goes to villages around
that's
and
good.
That sort of thing.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about some of that. Like the, elephant and lion. I just, some of the more exotic animals like that, to me, it's just...
everything needs to be managed. If you look at it biblically, we were put here to manage everything. So, as long as we're doing our part, then everything's going to be fine. It's the people that take advantage of it.
Yeah, I think it's just back to the ethics and stuff, but I don't know.
I have no problem with it. I don't necessarily care to go over there. Just because it just...
Well, shoot, I don't think we could afford that, dear.
Exactly. it's just not feasible.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily want to go. It's not like my top five or nothing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would do it. Be like, hey, if someone came up, hey, man, got the...
But that hunting, I don't think, is like the type of hunting you're used to, right? Like that hunting over there, they're basically taking you to the animal and like, oh, here you go. You can shoot it, right?
You get a little bit of everything there. I think you could make it like easy or you could make it hard.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I've never done it, but I think it's probably just like this. I mean, here you can have any type of hunt you want. You can have a really easy hunt if you get the money to pay for it. You could have hard if you want to do it, public ground, walking to the very back sort of thing. There's a bunch of different options of how to hunt. So it's not necessary. It's it just depends on what you want to do.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I wouldn't ever pay like pin. You can go pin hunt, you know.
What's that mean?
High fence. So someone's got high fences and they've been growing deer and you pick out whatever deer you want and they Oh yeah. Yeah, people do that. People pay thousands of dollars, like $10,000, $20,000,
$30,000. That to me isn't hunting, I don't think.
I agree. It's not hunting. It's different. Like our buddy Jody Miller up north, he was a big in the corporate world. I can't, you know, remember exactly what he did for a living, but you know, he had a lot of highfalutin people and one of them wanted to take him on a hunt and it was a high fence hunt. He wasn't going to tell him no, and I wouldn't tell anybody no. I'd still go do it, but it's just, it was like it's not the same.
No.
It's like, okay, yeah, I shot your
and like pig,
shot your deer.
I don't know about that.
But. Yeah, I mean, you can go out there and there's $5 in a row and they'll put a price tag on each one of them. Oh yeah, that one's 10 grand, that one's 30, that one's 50 grand, whatever.
That's crazy. I did not realize that was a thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's not hunting to me, but whatever.
No, I agree.
I mean, I guess to some people it is. I mean, if you have the money, but like.
Even if I had the money, I would never do that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Some people, it is what it is.
Whatever. You okay. Know. On to the next. Two more. What research methods are used to study deer populations? We kind of just talked about this one, didn't we?
I'm not a researcher, so I couldn't tell you exact. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to buzz over that one.
Okay. Skip that one.
Yeah.
Analyze the impact of climate change on deer and coyote habitats.
Oh, geez. We got this freaking lib AI.
Lib AI.
So what's the question again?
Analyze the impact of climate change on deer and coyote habitats.
I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh, Micah.
I don't know.
Well.
I don't. Okay.
Do you think in recent years, I mean, shoot, let's say past 10 years. Do you think weather or climate has affected your deer?
No,
I don't. You haven't noticed a change or
no.
Anything.
The only thing I've noticed is diseases. Is the only thing that I've noticed change deer,
and that has nothing to do with climate change.
Not that I'm aware of. So
I, mean, I guess it could.
I mean,
a little bit.
Like EHD is a real big one. Like 2012. When I used to go up north all the time, we got hit with EHD, which is usually whenever you have a dry summer, you know, there's a midge or whatever that's in the water and they get into the deer and they kill them very quickly. And then you got CWD, which depending on what side of the aisle you're on, kills deer. I've never seen it kill a deer. I've never seen one with CWD that I know of for sure. And then the conservation comes in and kills a bunch of deer. So that's the only time I've seen like huge impacts. Whether it was hot, cold, weather, it's all been pretty close to the same.
Okay.
Me.
So no, you don't feel.
I don't feel like, I mean, deer adapt very well. I think they live in all 50 states. I think they're in Alaska. They might not. Or no, they're in Alaska. I don't think they're in Hawaii.
I thought they were because you.
They have axis deer over
okay,
there.
Okay, that's.
And those are
because I'm like, you have literally told me, I want to go to Hawaii and hunt there.
I want to hunt axis deer.
Okay.
Which is a different. Then they brought those ones over there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It was a gift from somebody.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But, yeah. I don't think they're on Hawaii. But I'm pretty sure they're in all the other states.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I also.
Oh, you came up with
asked ChatGPT. My, except for mine, are not like hardcore questions like these. Mine are more funny questions.
Okay.
I'm not going to ask you all these, but let me just find. And these are some of these are really cheesy and stupid. Hold on. Let me scan real quick.
Our kids are getting antsy.
I know.
They're just sitting at the door.
Okay, so quick question. Do you spend more time hunting deer and coyotes or talking about hunting deer and coyotes on your podcast? Just trying to figure out which one you actually spend more time doing.
I mean, I get to hunt a lot, not as much as I'd like, you know, just with scheduling, but
you probably spend more time talking about it.
Probably. You know, we do that once a week all year long usually. You know, in general. But then, you know, me and Nathan, we're talking all the time.
Right.
It might not be specifically about a certain type of deer, but it's usually involved around deer hunting, whether it be property, leases, what we should do, that sort of thing. But we're usually, that's usually the main topic is some type of outdoorsy.
So when you say I'm going hunting, is that actual hunting or the type where you sit in a blind, scroll your phone, and talk about hunting on the podcast later?
I've done it both. There's definitely times where I just go there and I'm just like, I'm just going to scroll. And then there's times where I don't even pick my phone up.
Yeah.
So, like, it usually.
Do you know, like, the moment you get there, like, can you feel, oh, this is going to be a good one? Or, like, I don't know about it. Or do you not really?
I think that kind of depends on the weather. For me, it does. That's what kind of gets my feels going. Like, if it's, like, cool and. Or the type of time of year it is, you know, once you get into like that mid-October to later October into November, that sort of thing, that's like, it could happen.
Yeah.
In a blink of an eye sort of thing. So it kind of keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, hold on. Let me, like I said, these are, these are pretty stupid, but they're just kind of funny. Would you rather miss an entire hunting season or have to go 1 week without talking about hunting, listening to hunting, doing your hunting podcast, or shopping for hunting gear?
That one.
Yeah.
There's no way. There's no way.
I was going to say, wait, that's stupid. After I just reread that, I'm like, of course he's going to pick that.
Yeah, that's easy.
That one was easy. Okay.
Because there's definitely, there's probably been a few weeks in my year that nothing's been
brought up. Well, shoot, that one was stupid. This one's kind of funny. Does every conversation have to circle back to deer, coyotes, or that time you almost shot the one? Or is it just the free bonus content for your podcast listeners?
I feel like Nathan's the worst about bringing, like, he's told his stories or brings up a story all the time.
He gets it honest. I feel like that's a Thomas thing.
I mean, I get it. It's going to be brought up. But I try, like, if I've told a story on the podcast, I try to not bring it up. Or, you know, at least a little bit.
Well, you know.
If I do, I'll skim through it real quick, sort of thing.
Okay, I think, let me try to find one more and then we can.
One more and we'll wrap her up.
Okay. Would you rather miss hunting season for a year or watch The Real Housewives with me every weekend for during the hunting season? So you have to miss. Wait a second.
That's terrible.
That doesn't even.
That's not even a question.
I was going to say, well, you got to pick one, I guess.
I'm not missing hunting. For Real Housewives, is that what it's asking?
You have to watch it with me.
Oh, so I have to watch it with you
on the weekend
to be able to hunt with.
No, you just have to pick either miss hunting for a whole year.
Okay.
Or, well, this is stupid. Of course you're gonna pick that one. This one's dumb. Or watch The Real Housewives with me every weekend for one hunting season.
Well, I think what it's asking is, like, I can only hunt if I watch that show with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably watch it as long as it's
not
during.
That's so dumb. Okay,
as long as it's not during hunting time. Like, we're going to be doing that when it's dark.
I think ChatGPT failed me on some of these questions.
Yeah.
Yours were good. Mine were kind of stupid.
Great effort, though.
If I put antlers on myself, would you finally get that same hard-eyed look you give that big buck?
You could just take your shirt off and that would usually do it for me, dear.
No, it is kind of funny, though. You know, you see all those guys with the pictures of their big bucks and your big buck. I'm like, wow, look at that smile on his face. I wish he looked at me like he looks at that.
I still look at you that way.
I know. Sometimes.
All the time. All right. Hopefully you guys got a little enjoyment. I've bullshitted a lot on the on some of those, I'm sure, or didn't know what I was talking about. So let me know.
It was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. So hopefully people enjoyed it.
Guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a good week.
Bye.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
New year, new me? Cute. But how about new year, new money? With Experian, you can actually take control of your finances, check your FICO score, find ways to save, and get matched with credit card offers, giving you time to power through those New Year's goals you know you're going to crush. Start the year off right. Download the Experian app. Based on FICO score 8 model, offers and approval not guaranteed. Eligibility requirements and terms apply. Subject to credit check, which may impact your credit scores. Offers not available in all states. See Experian.com for details. Experian.
It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money in refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.